Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Now it's time for this.
The Executive Chair on News Talk.
Thanks to Guaranteed Irish. Jobs, community, provenance. Guaranteed. Join us at guaranteedirish.ie. Supporting business that supports Ireland.
I'm delighted to welcome to the Executive Chair, Caroline Buchel. She's the Chief Executive Officer at Fáilte Ireland. Caroline, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Bobby.
Now we'll get to Fáilte Ireland in a minute, because I know there's a lot to discuss there. But let's go back to a few years. Born in Drogheda, lived in Portlaoise, lived in Porterstown, moved around a small bit, educated at King's Hospitals, and then on to do languages and business in TU Dublin. Is that right?
That's
a fair summary of the early years?
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, and what attracted you to languages and business?
Oh, I always really enjoyed languages. Had the opportunity when I was in school to spend quite a bit of time in school in Germany, so really enjoyed that and just loved the languages. And then later in life had the great fortune to meet a Frenchman who I later married, so always kept going with the languages.
And where did the accountant in you come out from? When did you study for that? Was that something you did along the way?
Yeah, it was something I always had a bit of an interest in, and then wasn't really sure what I wanted to do when I was leaving school, and my dad suggested, sure, you're great at the numbers, why don't you do accounting? And I just sort of fell into that, and then realised when I was in it, and particularly as I was completing it, actually it's a great foundation for anything that you want to do. It's a really good basis.
Yeah, I was going to just chat to you about that, because understanding and comprehension around the numbers, you know, it's relevant in any business. And as you say, you don't have to be, you can be an accountant and not be a number cruncher.
Yeah, absolutely. So it just gives you that really good basis for understanding how businesses work.
And yeah.
I suppose also helps you to understand where your stakeholders are coming from, because not everybody's coming from the purpose of, you know, trying to build a business. Some people are looking for just that financial return. So it just gives you a good all-round education.
One of your earlier jobs was as financial controller in Capital Bars. Mm. Again, that would have been an interesting time, a rapidly developing business,
Absolutely.
A lot of cash flowing in and out of the business. As yeah. financial controller, I bet you learned a lot there.
Oh, it was phenomenal, of course, working for Liam and Des O'Dwyer.
Yeah.
We were just absolute visionaries at the time and huge pillars of the development in Dublin back then in the late 90s and early noughties. And yeah, learned a huge amount. You know, my first week in the job, it was my first proper job after qualifying. And I was just told to go ahead and organise the sale of the Gaiety Theatre, which, you know, was a bit of a... It stumps you a little bit when you've just sort of started. So it grew rapidly. And of course, during that time, opened Café en Seine.
Yeah.
Sosumi, Zanzibar, really iconic destinations. Of course, the Trinity Capital Hotel all happened during that time. Rapid expansion. And I learned a huge amount, of course, about running hospitality businesses and the importance of margins and so on, but also about the importance of cash flow.
That yeah.
was probably the big lesson there.
Absolutely. You worked in the Marine Institute, I know, and then later in Bordish Gowara. Mm. So again, your love of the sea,
mm.
and I know you're a keen sailor, yeah. so it is nice sometimes if you can align some maritime interests. So tell us firstly about the Marine Institute and Bordish Gowara, again, a great institution, let's call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, amazing. So, I mean, I've always had a great love of the sea, started sailing in my teens, absolutely love it still to this day. It's a huge passion. And when I met Dr. Peter Heffernan, who was leading what was a very tiny institute at that time, it was brand new, back in 2002, and he told me about his vision for Ireland, that we would not turn our backs to the sea, but we would understand just how important it is in terms of how it drove climate and opportunity, and how we should protect it and look after it, and how it could give us enormous economic wealth. And this was just irresistible to me in my 20s. I thought this is an incredible vision that he had. So worked with him, had a wonderful 17 years with him, and then he was retiring and I felt it was time for a change.
Yeah.
Did a quick hop through GOAL, the aid agency. Again, phenomenal institute, absolutely incredible work. And then back The lure of the sea pulled me back into BIM. And again, as you said, one of the oldest agencies in the state does incredibly important work.
Yeah.
With, in what is a very difficult time for that sector, and trying to really develop sustainable seafood businesses, particularly in all of those really fragile communities around the coast. So yeah, again, really enjoyed that.
And, you know, our status as an island nation, the resources of our seas, you know, that expand well beyond our coastlines. It's a big responsibility. And as you say, lots of people dependent on the sector, lots of turmoil, maybe some issues with Europe's involvement and all that. So some politics in there as well.
Yeah, well, we have a sea area many, many times greater than our landmass. So we're one of the biggest nations in Europe when you count our sea territory. So it's hugely important. But sometimes we don't think of ourselves as an island nation.
Yeah.
But as you know, Bobby, when you sail and you stand off the coast on a boat and you look in, you realise that we are an island nation. So having that kind of island mentality and understanding just how we can use the seas to drive both the economic development of the country, but also help all of those coastal communities. There remains a great opportunity there for us.
Big time, big time. And again, so on to Fall to Ireland, the big job, the big responsibility. You've just written a new strategy. Firstly, are you enjoying the role?
Oh, it's absolutely fantastic. I love it. It's great. It's such a great privilege to be in a position like this, having responsibility for an agency that is such an iconic institution within Ireland. So it's absolutely a brilliant, great team of people, really enthusiastic, enormous passion and drive for the sector, great energy. So now this is a great new strategy, because we are in a very different space than we were a couple of years ago, because of course we're now in Department of Enterprise. So it's a completely different approach in terms of that enterprise-led lens that we're driving through.
So the challenges again, national target of 7% annual domestic tourism growth, 7% may not sound a lot, but it's a big number on top of a big number.
Well, it's effectively 50% over 5 years, you know, when it's compounded. So it's a very, very ambitious target. So not only do we want to grow the overall value of the sector, but we want to spread that more into the regions and into the seasons, because, you know, it is one of the largest indigenous sectors of the economy. And 1 in 10 people who are employed in this country are directly employed in tourism.
Yeah.
So it is a phenomenal economic engine of the country. And it's really looking at how we can really optimize that now.
Is it possible to drive people where they don't want to go? Like, and again, let's be realistic about it. If somebody comes here with a preconceived concept of what they want to do, what they want to see and where they want to go, is it possible to change? But can marketing basically change that?
It can absolutely help with that. But ultimately, you have to have a really good product to start with. So most tourists who come here come for two of our four brands. They come for Dublin and then they come for the Wild Atlantic Way. So 75% of visitors who come to Ireland spend at least one night in Dublin before they go anywhere else. And then most people heading to the Wild Atlantic Way. But we've got in Ireland's Hidden Heartlands and Ireland's Ancient East, two fantastic brands that are growing, but much more slowly. So what we want to do now is really grow the really exciting things that there are to do in those areas, so that maybe as people are moving west, that we keep them for a day or two in those other regions, so that they stay longer, that they engage more deeply with those communities, still have a fantastic experience and explore some of the fabulous things that we have to do in those regions that they will thoroughly enjoy doing before maybe they continue with what they'd originally thought of.
What about a couple of other issues? We lost a lot of bed nights and accommodation to other sectors, namely the housing of people from outside the country. Has that stock returned to any level? Is it still below what it was pre-2018?
Yeah, so in 2023, it was at 13% of bed stock, which was really material. It's now down to 3%, so it's very small. Now, 4,900 beds came back in, rooms rather, came back in last year, and they have been absorbed immediately into back into the system, in that our occupancy levels have remained fairly static, so they haven't, it hasn't distorted the market. There's another 9,100 to come back in by March. So again, they are really useful for the tourism sector, because a lot of them would have been three-star or sort of three-star plus rooms, particularly on the Western Seaboard, right, where we have huge demand.
Are they in the right places? That's what I was going to ask
you. They are
you.
In the right places.
So yeah, if it's in the Wild Atlantic Way or along it, there are customers to fill those beds.
Absolutely, yeah. So we're seeing most of them are in the right place. So they're really, really helpful, particularly for tour groups coming in who need volume. They need hotels. So they're very helpful, because that's now giving back some of that volume. And again, everything that's coming in is being absorbed straight away.
Okay. And what about, again, it probably helps your strategy, if we talk about pinch points, people talk about over-tourism. Mm. Like there are places that it can be difficult, yep, to marry everybody's interests, let's, yep, call it. If you talk about somewhere where, you know, buses are interacting with people trying to go about their farming duties, etc. Mm. So is there a way that, again, that you can divert some of that tourism to the places? Because in that scenario, in your case, certainly everybody would win.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing to say, I think, is that we know that over 30% of people come here for our landscapes. It's the number one reason that people come to Ireland. We think it's for the welcome and the Cead Míle Fáilte, but in fact, the number one reason visitors come here is for our landscapes. So we have at all costs to protect that, in terms of the tranquility and that sense of peacefulness and, yeah, the sense of emptiness that people really enjoy when they come here, because that is the number one driver. So we absolutely will never be in a space of over-tourism. It is not something we want. But you're right, there's pockets of it that we have, particularly around the Ring of Kerry and other areas during the summer. And we work very, very closely on the ground. Our teams work to make sure that we're resolving those local issues, whether it's through parking arrangements or whether it's through restriction of bus times and so on. So we really make sure that that is a key focus, that we never go down the route of it being unwelcome by local communities. If it's not welcomed by the communities, if tourism isn't welcomed by the communities, we've got an enormous difficulty.
Sure.
And we want to make sure we protect that.
If we look at then at the future and the inward bound tourists, how confident are we that they'll still keep coming? And sometimes, you know, you basically can't control why somebody might come or why they may come. And I suppose one of the reasons, and it may not be, you know, that we maybe have benefited by the recent hot weather across Europe, that we're becoming maybe more attractive because of our moderate climate. Mm. And that may be at somebody else's cost or some other jurisdiction's tourist numbers. But the fact that we can't influence, like there's ups and there's downs, and basically that we're, you know, you're operating in an environment where things can change internationally very quickly. Mm. Do you just have to roll with that?
Well, no, we very much have a plan as to how we're going to keep diversifying our markets, because we can't have all the eggs in a small number of baskets for exactly that reason. So our number one market's still Great Britain. So 40% of our visitors are still coming from Great Britain, and just over 35% coming from the US. The US is still very strong. Now it's a little bit weaker at the moment, but it's still, relatively speaking, very strong, and it's an incredibly valuable market for us. And then after that, looking at Europe, we've got France, Germany and Italy are good, strong markets. Tourism Ireland particularly focusing now in how they market us in Italy. That's a very key focus. And then looking further afield, so they've got campaigns running at the moment in Canada, in India and in China. So looking to really continue to grow all of those markets to make sure that we are trying to mitigate that global risk that exists. But there's no question the global uncertainty is really difficult. And certainly our client businesses are finding that, you know, bookings are much later now, that we don't have the forward bookings we would have had previously for 2027 at this stage. So that uncertainty is still difficult to navigate.
All right. Well, look, we wish you every success. It's a big job. It's the CEO of Fáilte Ireland, Caroline Bockel. Thanks so much for joining us, and very best of luck with all that you're doing.
Thanks, Bobby.
Down to Business
with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.